if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Today, I went to buy Canada Dry, a limited edition strawberry lemonade, ginger ale, zero sugar, zero caffeine, it seems. Doesn't seem like there's caffeine in the ingredients. Excellent. I love it. I love it. Very subtle flavor. Rakis says, hello, normal people. Hello. Are we at this point where we're the last human stream on this platform on the internet? There's so much campaigning, so much fakery going around. It's insane. Peter Thiel is leaving the US, increasingly looking to Argentina as a possible refugee. Beyond the United States, the billionaire has purchased a $12 million property in Buenos Aires and has held repeated meetings with President Javier Milei, whose libertarian anti-tax agenda closely aligns with Thiel's own politics. He has relocated his family to the Latin American country. His family? Wasn't he gay? Who's his family? Is it his current boyfriend? Whatever. Those familiar with Thiel's thinking say his interest in Argentina is driven partly by concern over America's future. I mean, it's insane. These people, they fund all of these psyops, and then they leave America behind. Unbelievable. Instead of just analyzing what the problem is with America and solving it. They've funded across the years so much gatekeeping against people like us to replace us, to kind of emulate our discourse. There was a first wave of this with the Bronze Age perverts. And then there was a second wave. I think that the Bizarrian, Owen Benjamin, Ian Carroll, Current Alliance, even Tucker Carlson, is all part of a very cloudy system of self-reinforcement that seems to have the footprint of Peter Thiel to it. I don't know the exact paths of money, but I know that these people, when you ask them about Peter Thiel, they become emotional. You know, the kind of emotion where your check depends on it. These people are all talking, like you have Tucker Carlson talking positively about Peter Thiel. You have Ian Carroll who's been asked one time in a super chat, so what about Peter Thiel? And it was, I have nothing to say about Peter Thiel. I mean, great guy. I don't know. Oh God, we are faced with such subversion. We don't even know the people around us who are actually engaging in truth, delivering their own ideas, and who's on the payroll. Subversion Stopper has sent a super chat through XMR chat. Thank you so much. He says, good debate. Dr. Greg seems like a decent guy, no yelling or interruption, but definitely a I fucking love science, ultra normie. We could probably guess his political views with 90% accuracy, always defers to authority as ultimate truth, not much independent thought. Yeah. You know, a guy that reminds me of everyone in academia and everyone who's part of this institutional raising around vaccine and, you know, the official discourse. That's what we got yesterday in the debate. very disappointing because down the line, these people are NPC zombies. And, you know, I can see that the guy has intelligence. I can see that he reads articles and understands molecular biology. But I can also see that he's completely slave to the framings of the system. And the lie is always in the framing. You know, these people who tell you this is safe and effective, this, that has been tested thoroughly. It's tested thoroughly within your framing. It's not tested thoroughly for what people think of when they think of safety and efficacy. Because your framing assumes everything. If you give a vaccine to people and then you test them for 6 months to determine do they die, that's already a big framing issue. That's already a form of cherry picking. And the very scenario that you've put together is very cherry picked. First, because you haven't evaluated to what extent are the harms of the vaccine bigger than the advantage for different groups, for different age groups. You haven't asked yourselves how many people will truly be killed by this virus. And we've seen it in COVID. I mean, there's so much monetary incentive for hospitals to declare COVID death. It's like, oh, either we declare this death a motorcycle accident or we declare it a COVID death. And if he has COVID, it doesn't matter that he got hurt in a motorcycle accident. If we can say he has COVID, if some test can tell us this, boom, $15,000 fed straight to the hospital. Just this, I mean, will completely bias your entire approach to the question of, are we really saving people with this? How many people are we saving? How much hurt do we do? And then the little trickling down of all of the preferences of researchers and the fact that they've all been tested effectively for kneeling to the institutions. If you made it in academia, you have kneeled so much on the truth. At various steps, you've been tested. I know because I've reached the top of it. I know the little test at each turn. You can't get your way through it without lying to yourself. You can't get your way through it by truly searching for the truth because you'll be rejected from the start. And so, yeah, we talked about genetic editing yesterday, but there was a heavy vaccine background to it, which is ultimately we're talking about medical authoritarianism. And the answer is these NPC zombies are just going to go with it because it saves baby KJ. Baby KJ, he would have suffered from this or that. We have to do something. They're not going to consider the long-term consequences of what they do. They don't care about evolution. They will pay lip service to it. They will tell you, oh, we do care about it. But down the line, they don't. And they are not willing to engage with evolutionary theory, which is the only tool we could have that tells us in advance what's going to happen. It's the only thing, but these guys are, I fucking love science, and they've redefined science to mean only the data that we can acquire. Well, you know, the devil is in the detail, and I would be more scared of the things we can't know. Those are very dangerous things, and to dig into the things we can't know before we do them, you need theory. And it would absolutely make sense if we were in a car headed toward a brick wall to have a theory of what's about to happen. We wouldn't need to wait for the car to hit the brick wall. We could have a theory and say, hey, normally, if the rules of the universe are maintained, we're about to crash in a brick wall. And no one would contest, well, do you have data? Well, it's like, I have very solid theories that have not been contested. And they are built on absolute rationality. And they are even backed by past events that are that have demonstrably happened. Well, we're still going to save baby KJ for his liver troubles, and we'll see down the line if we can gather data that tells us it's dangerous. You're never going to have data on future ecology. You're never going to have data about what the state of the future will end up being after you do your careless actions in single generations without thinking about the long term. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, it may be interesting to review Pope Leo's major new encyclical on AI. Even if it doesn't go far enough, it will likely influence sermons at churches for decades. Okay, I wasn't aware that he has talked about AI. I'll be reading about this later tonight. That is very encouraging. Of course, I always knew science itself, the scientific argument of the revolutionary phenotype, will never work. We're going to need religion and stupidity. It's as simple as this. Stupidity has a protective effect, and intelligence has its traps. And we are faced with the problem that very intelligent people who have university educations, like Dr. Greg yesterday, are just blinded morally. And they have decided not to care about it. They've decided, I don't want to think about these things. I'm just thinking about this baby and this parent, and it would be good for them. But we have the capacity to understand from theory what are the consequences of our evolutionary decision? What is the effect of making, of tweaking, of hacking evolution? Hacking Darwin, as the enthusiasts say. But when you hack Darwin, you hack life. You are destroying life. And the only outcome will be self-destruction and self-domestication. Doubting Thomas says, JF, I should also mention that it was released in partnership with Anthropic. Oh yeah, you'll have so many of these AI companies will try to frame themselves as the moral AI. And it's like none of them address the big problem of AI, which is if AI modify human genes, then we are a domesticated species by AI. That is the great problem. The rest of AI may be acceptable. But this cannot happen. I've been leading a relaxed day today. Did some medical tests. I'm doing good because I lost a lot of weight. So I'm doing fantastic. Food is easier to eat now for me. Because when I was very heavy, it was getting harder. Food was hitting me hard on the liver, on the stomach. But now I'm in top health. The numbers are good. I went to buy an AC. It's really the summer. It's really getting warm. And so tomorrow I'll be installing my new AC. I'd love to have a cold house. This is always what I've loved. But last summer I couldn't get a cold house because I didn't have an AC and didn't feel like buying one. I wasn't decided, do I get a wall one? So I took these portable ones that you can leave on the floor, roll around. And what I like to do with those is to do a true wall drilling. I don't like to install them at the windows because it's always duct tape and stuff. So I will install it with a wall drill pipe that will get the heat out. That is, to me, the most efficient way to do so. And the reason I could lead a relaxed day is that white people food has been ordered. It has now been uploaded to KDP, and I'm waiting for my other copies. It took me 24 hours, basically, of work just to get the PDF into KDP, do little test, and oh, this doesn't work, and there's also all sorts of problems with Canadian authors with KDP that are documented on Google. It's like when they offer you the copy and you have to pay for it, there's a Canadian bug. And for anyone outside the US, they get the message, you can't order your copy because you're not in the US. So I had to work around these things. But finally, I was able to do it. And it seems that there's an issue of cache and time that Amazon should resolve. because it's really, you have to wait basically 5 hours, and they tell you you have to do it within 24 hours, order your copies. But at the same time, the website is telling you for 5 hours, it's telling you, no, you can't order. So it gets you nervous. But in the end, I ordered the copy, so I can't wait. Within a few, maybe a week or two, I should have White People Food in my hands. And I think it's good that I waited and that I have now this time to think about the book, because I found some of the flaws that I need to repair. I think that it was missing milkshake. And someone had told me on Twitter, JF, do you include milkshake? And at first I was thinking, I'm going to include a recipe. But now I realize, no, we need a full milkshake guide. It will be the milkshake flurry continuum. And I've started designing the guide. Basically, to do a crazy milkshake, you need to bake a pie. You can bake a key lime pie. You can bake a pecan pie. Then that pie, it needs to be a full standalone pie. And then you chop it in cubes. And then you put this into the milkshake. And now you flurry it and you cover it with whipped cream, drizzles of caramel. And you can add various other components. But the crunchy of the dough being humidified by the melting ice cream with some milk to make it more liquid, depending on where you are on the milkshake flurry continuum. That is what I want to add. We need perhaps a ultimate guide of the Eggs Benedict, and we need a Irish food. I believe I will go for Irish brisket in beer, because I think we're missing this Irish component. I realize, wow, I've covered a lot of cultures, but not Irish. And it's because Irish stuff already is out there. There's lots of books that will present Irish recipe. And I was trying at first to distinguish myself. And I wanted to stray out of the usual. Like, I'm very annoyed by how much Italian food documents there are out there. And I was like, I don't want this to turn into an Italian food book. And the same happened with Irish. It's like too common. But we do need one recipe from the Irish. And I think it will be the braised brisket. A delicious braised brisket in beer. YouTube commentator says, a milkshake to McFlurry continuum. Amazing. Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, not McFlurry, but flurry. The idea of mixing ice cream with various tasty components. I have documented maybe 200 options. You can take chocolate bars, Snicker bars, Oreo, O. Henry, cookies, shortbread cookies, broken pies. I mean, you put a full pie in your milkshake and now you eat it with a spoon. And it's just like, at some point, the pie is so interesting when you have it on a plate and you put a ball of ice cream, but it's not its final form. I believe the true final form of the pie is to be a milkshake additive. Now you're starting to talk. When you have a pile of pie crumbles with the whole true structure of it, you don't just put pie dough. You have pie dough. You have your gelatinous part of the pie. You have maybe your pecan on top of it. And this makes it into the milkshake. It becomes absolutely insane. YouTube commentator says, Ireland is also famous for high-quality butter. Okay, I haven't looked into it. ELDR says, the deeper you go, the more you will find you will need a volume 2. It's very possible, very possible. Now, I'm very satisfied. I think we're going to have options at digital $29.99, paperback $59.99, and hardcover high quality $79.99. So we're going to have for all budgets, but the fact is this is effectively very close to a university education in culinary science, what you get from this book. And the fact is the competitors to this book would charge you $200 or maybe $1,000 for getting this education. And arguably maybe $10,000 if you take the whole course. And I'm giving you that for $29.99, $59.99, or $79.99. Those will probably be what my prices look like. Now, I will highly recommend you take the hardcover because it's going to be an artistic product. And it's going to be something that I think you might regret if you don't have the hardcover. It's going to be something you want to live with. Yes, corned beef. That's braised brisket, corned beef. The Irish have a very interesting version of it with dark beer. It's one of the most delicious ways you can prepare brisket. Long braised, 4 hours maybe in Guinness beer or something like that. John Drake says $79.99 hardcover is the way to go. Absolutely, it will be the product of desire that's desirable. It will be so desirable to be holding that in your hand, and it's going to be also longer lasting because it's not going to be damaged by small kitchen events, you know. Gus Grizzle says Burgundy beef, aka Burgundy beef. Okay, I'll Google it. I think I've seen that before, but I don't quite remember what Burgundy beef is about. Is it like bœuf bourguignon? Is it the French thing, but it's just another name for it? If so, then yes, I have a recipe for bœuf bourguignon. Burgundy. Maybe it's the English for bourguignon. But anyways, in the book, I use the original languages. So if I talk about the Swedish smørbröd or the Swedish smörgåstårta, I write it in the initial language. So I write it in Swedish, just like all accents are respected for French terms in my book. Need Staff says, Jeff, how much of the book's profit will you see from $79.99? So I would be making about $17 per book at $79.99. That's my target because I do authorship in a very different way than the traditional system. The traditional system seeks to... It's so sad what the usual brick-and-mortar books do. They seek mass success. And yet they try to make $1 for the author on each book. And so it all becomes beside the author, really. That's what you get in the brick and mortar industry. It's like you are the author is pissing away their wealth to get promoted, to get into the system that basically has exploited authors for decades. But I live a very different life. I consider that I should be making a life out of the revolutionary phenotype and now white people food. I want to live from my sales. And so I do charge more, and I charge more and I sell to less people. But that's where I lie in the market. I'd rather this be something between us and between kind of an elite that is aware of what the revolutionary phenotype is, than to try to be in the system. Because anyways, penetrating the system comes with all sorts of sacrifices. You can't say the kind of things I say that are true every day on YouTube and be selected in the brick and mortar editing industry. So it's like, I'm not willing to sacrifice my speech for success that would not even bring money to me. It would really be an operation in narcissism. Oh, I have been published by a editing house, and you know who owns these editing house. Plapida says, Jeff, great performance yesterday. It was hard to listen to Dr. Greg's NPC drivel. You are far more patient and cordial than I could be. Well, yes, as I was commenting on the private Patreon chat today, people were asking me, how are you so patient? It's like, you have to imagine in my head, as I was against Dr. Greg yesterday, I'm like, not an argument, invalid. I don't have to answer to this because it's emotional appeal. He's trying to look good for the crowd. And so when you analyze each sentence like this, it's not so painful because I don't live it emotionally. I'm like, not an argument, not an argument. I do my Stefan Molyneux checkoff. And the fact is, most of the things that he said are not an argument. It's not even clear to me down the line because he was so not addressing my point. It's not fully clear to me what he believes down the line on what we should do about the evolutionary consequences of all this. His statement seems to be, well, we'll see what happens. Well, no, I don't want to see it. I want us to decide now. Daddy-O has sent a super chat. He says, Pope did the 6-7 jester crowd at Vatican recently. 6-7! Bro, the kids are all about this. If you just leave access to your kids to some degree of culture, whether they go to school right now or whether they browse the internet, they will come to you and say, 6-7, Papa! I don't take issue with the 6-7 meme. I think it's... Some people have done deep research and they say, down the line, it means killing. Down the line, it's a gang sign and it's about a gang that was going to kill another gang. But to me, the meme has moved into naive and absolutely empty meme territory when it's just this guy on a bike that comes and says 6-7, or does he even do that? In any case, he has the 6-7 shirt, and kids have totally integrated this meme. So it has reached endemic meme status. Sadie Edward says, they've turned milk toast into a slur for bland white people's food, but my grandmother made it for me as a child with vanilla and honey. Oh yeah, milk toast. What an interesting term. Truly, I hadn't thought about this. Milk toast is the implication that it's bland, and bland is the, I mean, if you're French, you know. Bland comes from white. Bland is one letter away to be blank, and blank is white in French. So very interesting semantic structure here, because indeed, I do believe that some of the recipes I've made, white people food looks bland. It is not bland, though. When you integrate all of this chicken taste into a velouté, bro, the sauce tastes more chicken than a piece of chicken, literally. It tastes like concentrated chicken. If you do it well, it is not bland at all, but it looks bland. It's a yellow-white sauce, you know, but the injection of super taste is something you need... You need an education for this. Harvey Weinstein says, are you including matzo ball soup in your white people book? If not, I'm notifying the ADL. I actually mentioned matzo balls, but I didn't give a recipe. But I mentioned it as part of my research in terms of tracking the evolution of dumplings in Europe. And I traced all trends of dumpling. In fact, all wraps of meat of any kind and wraps of cheese and potatoes, I've traced it all. And you can see literally, I'm making maps where you can see the waves of penetration. Like you can see that the ravioli has actually spread from Italy into France, leading to there's one genuine French recipe that is basically ravioli-like, ravioli du dauphin, And you can see that there are Eastern European dumplings that have made it toward the West. There's even potato-based dumpling that have made it from the northern lands like Sweden and other Nordic places. And they, you can see them go down. They penetrate down to Italy on a uncertain basis. So, and then I tracked, then there are, if you want to extend the concept of meat wrapping, I tracked meat pies and how do they spread. Basically, meat pies, sausage roll, corn dogs, they stem from truly English culture and they've not penetrated continentally in Europe, but they spread to Australia and the US because of English spreading. So you can really see in action the evolution of all these various ways to wrap meat, from dumplings to... And of course, there's even the argument that wrapping meat is not a dumpling, because the idea of dumpling originally is dough balls, basically. The archetypal dumpling is actually not filled, which is what you get in chicken dumplings in the US. So in the US, there's this soup in which balls of dough are dropped. The balls of dough contain nothing. That's the idea of dumping something into a soup. And it's only as a result of calling the Chinese dumpling dumplings that Europe has reintegrated this concept that dumplings applies to these wrapped meats. The true dumpling is unfilled, and it's a ball of dough, and it really stems, just like shortbread cookies. Here I'm jumping across dimensions, but hear me out. Both shortbread cookies and dumplings emerge historically from the same source, which is leftover uncooked dough. So if you're stuck with leftover uncooked dough, maybe your oven was full with your other bread and you have extra. What do you do with it? Well, you can do two things. You can throw it in your chicken soup that's simmering. Now you get chicken and dumpling. Now you get the chicken and dumpling that the US knows. Or you can add sugar to the dough. And what do you do with this extra dough? You just pass it in a later batch in your oven, and now you get shortbread cookies. So there is enormous amounts of, in European food culture, there is frugality, which is what I call it in the book. There is the reuse that ends up defining recipes. Like people these days, they eat shortbread cookies. They don't see it as a leftover. But it's a leftover. It's bread dough that has been, that initially it was bread dough to which they add sugar. And that leads to shortbread cookies. John Drake says, steak pie with a crispy pastry is great. No veggies. Steak pie. Yes. It can be delicious. Dadio says, who did the graphic design for your book? I did. This is my work. My work worked very hard. We're now at 314 pages. I will be adding about 6 of them while I wait for my author copies. We'll be at 320 pages, all of them extremely illustrated, which is why the hardcover is important. Because it's a book that you'll browse and you'll be like, what could I do this week? And it will give you ideas and it will inspire a passion for food. That is a very different cookbook. Let me tell you, I've been showing it to AIs and asking them to judge it. And they're like, this is out of this world. This is not like any cookbook we know. And when AI tells you this, and of course, AI is biased by the questioner. And of course, when I approach AI with this, it knows that it needs to compliment. But still, it's interesting to see how AI chooses to compliment it. Because what I've created is a massive encyclopedia. I don't think you can suspect the extent of what you're about to see. And especially with the addition of the milkshake, it's like, oh, wow. You could spend your entire life on the milkshake page and you wouldn't be done with it. I think you have 1 million combinations of milkshake you can do right there in a single page. And I'm giving you also canonical builds. So the guides are divided. It's like, here are all your options if you make a milkshake. Here's everything that was ever done to a milkshake. And here's the whole continuum up to flurry. And here's what you would do if you want a flurry. Now you have all these options. You're going to make decisions. But here's also 20, 30, 40 examples of canonical builds. Here's what a lot of people have been buying before. And here's what's been selling. Of course, the classic Oreo, you know, cookies and cream flurry, very popular. Of course, cutting a pecan pie and adding it to milk and ice cream, absolutely delicious. So you have the canonical builds, but then you have the inspiration to take your own route because there's so much variations internationally about what's available. I wanted to unlock ourselves from the recipe model. And this AI is telling me this has not been done that way. There is such a thing as professional culinary guides where chefs, they will often have, well, here are your options. You can plug this or that or this or that. But the way I organized it so that it's available to the general public and in one page you can have a whole universe of decisions. That's never been done before, I think, personally. I've not seen it. ELDR says, my AI tells me I'm 135 plus IQ. Of course, I totally agree. Well, you know, I think that if AI knew, because there's a way you can be inquisitive with AI. Okay, at first it's going to give you the bullshit. Oh, this is so great, JF. But then you can ask AI, you know, can you find in human culture what would be the closest thing to a guide like this? And he's going to give it to you. And then you can judge, oh, okay, how distinguished I am. Because now I have the closest thing or the 10 closest things to it. Now you can judge for yourself. AI can lie, can be complacent. Of course, it's designed to be. It's been designed to make you happy. But it's also been designed to give you the references that you need. And so you can easily say, all right, those are the 10 closest things to what I've done. And they're very far. They're very far. John Drake says, peanut butter Reese's Pieces in a flurry is bust. Absolutely. That's one of my options. And in fact, it's one of my canonical builds. Jill Jansbon says, you have the healthy or diabetic way. Either way, it's tough to choose. Absolutely. Sadi Edward says, kvass is a traditional fermented Slavic beverage made from rye bread known as liquid bread. It is mildly sweet, tangy, and slightly effervescent, typically used in soups as well. Yeah, I had this on my list. I didn't make a recipe page for it, but I want to make sure that I include it in my list of smaller comments because I hadn't heard about this. I do think it's already in my list. At the end of the book, I say, look, I can't cover everything, but here's a list of food phenomena that are interesting to me. And I certainly want to include it there. Peter Thiel has temporarily relocated his family to Argentina, enrolled his children in school there, and bought property partly due to Thiel's concerns about the United States' future. Okay, so Peter Thiel has children. Are they adopted children? Maybe. Ashley St. Clair, oh, bro. This is so pathetic to see this woman just out there seeding troubles. And this interview right here will reveal to you why women don't have it in them to be rational political commentator. It inevitably veers into exactly what you would expect at a woman meeting of any kind. at the hair salon or whatever.
And they say so much like, oh, it's not a victimhood mentality. It's not this, it's not that. But they live in the biggest victimhood mentality, that they think the biggest issue is trans people, that they think it's going to take away from them so much if you recognize Black literature. Reading my first slave narrative at 25, I was like, no wonder they don't want me reading this, because this is horrific. Yeah. And so like then consuming Black literature.
The problem is when you are pushing for literature that has a moral component to it. And definitely the Marxists of the state, the elementary school teachers and high school teachers, are now in the moral domain. If it was just that there's some literature that exists written by Blacks and maybe it's interesting and we talk about it, that the historical fact of it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is you are taking this for a moral program of guilt into people that have never had slaves. You know, 9 years old in 2026 didn't have slaves. So the problem is the moral recuperation of the factual world by the left. It's not that Black literature can't exist. It's just that we know why you're using it. We know what you're appealing to when you say this. Because I would want the next generation of white people to be raised into not feeling guilty for who they are. And your literature that you're suggesting is precisely telling them the opposite, that they are guilty of what happened 200 years ago by people to whom they're completely unrelated. I'm not related. If I go back hundreds of years in my family history, I can see no one who's ever had a slave. I am part of a Canadian farmer family, all documented through the Catholic Church. I can trace my ancestry up to France. And the reason you are pushing for your literature is for someone like me to feel somehow solidary with unrelated people of the past that are not my ancestors, so that I feel guilt for what they did. The reason you want me to feel guilt is you want me ultimately to erase myself from the world. That's what's hiding behind this push of Black literature. I don't have issues with Black literature. Maybe some Black guy wrote something that I would want to read. I'm open to it, but not in the current circumstance where you're pushing this stuff onto us for the purpose of racial guilt.
Like reading Robinson, reading Du Bois, reading these things that I wasn't allowed to read because I was told it was anti-white propaganda. And
who disallowed you to read this? Who was the person who said, Ashley, you can't read this because it's anti-white propaganda? No one ever said that to you.
Just read what you're not supposed to. Read what they're telling
you
not
to. How racist is the movement?
By the way, this is stolen valor. The left loves to think that they are under some form of oppression. It's like no one has ever kept anyone from, like, if you want to go out there, buy your Black literature, you can read it. There's literally not a single elementary school teacher in the country that will tell you it's a bad idea. In fact, if they do anything, they're going to push you to read that book. Sadie Edwards says, I bet her books don't mention who ran the slave trade. I bet they don't.
It's pretty racist.
That's what I mean. I think it's just, would you say that's
now, she's just there to tarnish MAGA. But how has this girl ever been MAGA? She's been part of a subversive operation onto MAGA, no doubt. But she's been MAGA to the extent that MAGA has been subverted. She's been MAGA to the extent that her handlers at Babylon Bee wanted her to be that.
The epicenter of it, and then also owning the libs.
I think it's becoming more and more at the epicenter of it. It wasn't so much before, but people like Stephen Miller have really, like, you know, I have texts from Stephen Miller where he's like, we need white boy.
What?
November. Oh, yeah.
You have texts from Stephen Miller?
He used to text me every day during the election.
How
he's like, share this. I don't, I, every time I've seen him, he's sitting down at the board with a drink. So don't know.
But what would he text you when he'd what?
This is female speech about politics. Welcome to the hell that we live in.
He would ask for retweets during the election.
Like, would you say white boy?
White boy November. He's like, we need the white.
Now, there's two layers of patetism here. The Ashley St. Clair attempt to tarnish MAGA when she's never been a part of it. She's truly been a subversive agent in it from the start. She's been there on purpose to exactly do this. The project was this. The project was, oh, I've been in it, and now I can tell you so much dirt about them. That's one layer of patetism. The second layer of patetism is that these second-degree subverters of the MAGA movement, the people who are currently in the Trump administration, they are pathetically trying to recuperate and recycle memes that come from real MAGA. Because White Boy Summer is a real meme. They're trying to push White Boy November. And they did it. You'll remember the TPUSA throwing shirts and hats. And Nick Fuentes had the most hilarious description of this back in the days. He was like, the camera turns and there's a boomer grandma. And the boomer grandma is like, yeah, White Boy Summer. And it's like they tried surfing on the memes. They didn't adopt the beliefs. They tried surfing on the cream at the top, the products of actual internet racial consciousness mimetics. But they never really adopted the belief. That's what happens when you deal with unprincipled people. They will just try, they think that you're wrong. They think, oh my God, JF is so bad at pushing these ideas. Let me take the best of JF, just that one thing. Let me take the best of Nick Fuentes. Let's take just White Boy Summer from him. And it's like, well, you end up with cosmetics, not intellectualism. This is what has happened to the MAGA movement. This is what the two-layer subversion of the MAGA movement looks like. It's a bunch of Mossad agents hired by Babylon Bee, chilling with other Trump administration members that are just as subversive, and there's not even space in between for the real concerns of the MAGA base to express itself. That's how you end up with an Iran war, by voting for a president that says no new war. Jez Jansbon says, what's MAGA anymore? Just to be on the same page. Effectively, MAGA is now Bibi Netanyahu-led. ELDR says that iconic meme of the glowing dudes all dressed the same. Oh, yeah. There has been so much attempt at pumping the energy of the true right without fully committing to the principles. And it's like, it doesn't work. This is cosmetics. And this whole discussion, by the way, is cosmetics too. I mean, do you see the layers? I mean, this girl can produce entire YouTube videos. She stacks so much cosmetics onto her face. She can actually produce content from it. It's like, here, I'm going to talk about something. Oh, here's Elon Musk did this, said this.
White boys, this is going to be White Boy November. Like, he's just a loser. And so, like, he's begging me.
He's just a loser. Can we get some engagement on what's wrong about White Boy Summer after absolute crushing of the white population and the hatred that is directed at them? Can't they have a summer for them? Can't we declare? That was the idea of White Boy Summer. It's like, well, you guys keep giving us shit. We keep being harassed by the left. We can't get jobs because the whole job market has been closed to us because of racial preferences in hiring. Can we get a summer? Can we just chill? Because we're doing good. White boys are doing good. We're inseminating you know, leftist females still want to be inseminated by a white boy. So everything's going to be fine. Can we just chill, get a cocktail? It's white boy summer. That's the idea of white boy summer.
For retweets, he's like, we need to get
the men. Wait, hold on. So that guy is reaching out to you to reach.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. He said this to you. Oh my God. Oh, he's reaching out.
They're all so insecure.
They're losers.
Yeah.
They're
I mean, I knew that. I knew all of this.
She does the L. This woman has levels of political intelligence that are expected in a high school level woman. And it's probably her level of education or not too far. But she thinks of the world in terms of losers. As such a loser, he's begging for exposure. Like, this is politics, and you are also constantly looking for exposure for yourself. Are you a loser for it? Trevor Blue says, I'm poor and I wouldn't let that woman near my penis. Wise decision. Although, you know my policy. My policy is always inseminate. Elon did the right thing. The problem with Elon is that he keeps sending her money. So he's funding this whole public operation.
That's why I don't care. I'm like, who am I?
And how badly do they want to own the libs? Would you say that is the driving force, like the ethos that like bonds them together, owning the libs?
No, I think they're just hateful racists.
So what makes this woman MAGA or right wing at all? Because there she is, adopting heavy far left anti-racist discourse when it's convenient for her. What has ever made this woman right-wing other than the fact that she was hanging out with people who were trying to pose as right-wing when it was convenient for their political project? Nothing. She's never had a right-wing position that's original to hers. And here she is just repeating far-left anti-white talking points.
What bonds them together is hate and that they weren't cool in high school. Like, they're really, these people are so deeply...
She still has a frame of reference around high school. I caught this early in the discussion, but now she literally explicitly says it. This woman thinks of the world like you were in high school. And for those of you who are old like me, because I'm 42 now, let me remind you of how you saw the world in high school. You, as a monkey, because I've been studying monkeys and it's exactly like this, you had in your brain a little box for every individual that you were encountering at high school. And you were placing them on a scale, the losers, the skaters, the punks, the revolutionaries, the quarterback, the quarterback king of the school, the kind of clavicular type. You know, a beautiful boy, always hanging out with the blonde girls. You had a full record of the entire hierarchy of your high school. That's how it is in high school. And she lives with that hierarchy still. For her, Stephen Miller, oh well, loser. Loser. That's why you have this political project, is that you have small balls, you have a small dick. No one likes you. You're compensating. All of this is leftist, yes, projection. Leftist psychoanalysis. Absolutely no insight into why people do what they do. It's a psychologization of the motivation. And it's also a leftist, very subversive feminist talking point. They want to think that because men do not enact their political feminism, that it's because they have lost. No, you're the loser. You're the one, Ashley, who ends up with a single child. And Elon has 12 children or something like this. So you're the loser down the line. Down the line, your lifestyle is unsustainable over evolutionary times.
Insecure.
Have you met Trump?
A few times. I was very much...
Did he stink?
I didn't get close enough to smell.
This is what you hear in high school. they will always have their reject guys and they will talk about how he smells. That's how women position themselves in the hierarchy. It's like, can you be disgusted by how many guys are you disgusted about? And the highest you can go, the more high you perceive yourself in the social hierarchy of the high school. They're talking about the smell of Trump. And they don't even have data. It's not like she hasn't even smelled Trump and she's talking about the smell of Trump. We're talking about nothing here. We're making implications on data points that we don't have.
The makeup look like in person.
Very bad. The spray tan. I think it's a spray tan issue, but like that's, you kind of have to get a spray tan to go to Mar-a-Lago. Like as soon as I started getting in the Mar-a-Lago crowds, they're like, oh, here's Laura Trump's spray tan girl. Like here's, get the Zimmerman dress, get this. Like I was being put into this costume of MAGA. And I think I look much better without a spray tan.
So MAGA has this obsession with browning the skin of people who join the administration. Interesting, because yeah, Trump, you can see he's been pressured. He's been pressure sold some tan. And that's and you know, it leads to the whole orange man designation for him. But it's not beautiful at all. This tanning effect, I don't see why anyone would ever do this. There's nothing more beautiful than porcelain white skin of an artist who stares his old days inside. Even I find that I'm acquiring too much of a shade, too much of a tan. But I have no choice. I have to go out sometimes and I have to cut the grass and everything. But I would want to be exposed to the sun less than I am currently.
They all do the spray tans, like they wear a costume.
And do people think he's smart? Like where it was like, oh my God, Trump's incredible. I mean,
they view him more as like this caricature. They're like, oh, he's so awesome. Oh my God.
They think he's like a badass.
Can you believe he was at the McDonald's drive-thru? Like they're just so dumb.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't think they actually think, if you ask any of them, that Donald Trump is sitting there writing policy. Like they know he's not.
Are they true? So in the influencer class, because there are true believers. I've been around them in Oklahoma in the Bible Belt that believe this man is smart, that believe he's this incredible businessman, that believe all this, like that he's healthy, that he's a great athlete. There are people that believe.
Yeah, the
shit.
Base does. But
within
MAGA,
the influencer class.
What does it change that Trump is or is not an athlete? He's what, something like 70, 80 years old? He's not going to be an athlete. The fact that he's alive is kind of miraculous. It's a miracle of modern medicine. And Andre says, hi, JF. Well, thank you so much, Andre, for joining the subscription to the channel. The channel does need your support to keep going. And one way you can give on a monthly basis is by becoming a subscriber to JFG Tonight. Lapidus says, someone should teach Ashley about the sour grapes anecdote. She was desperate to be in MAGA, but was rejected, now quite salty. I mean, was she rejected? I mean, the current MAGA is so lost. Maybe she has self-rejected through her behavior. But the current MAGA has so little criteria of quality, and who ended up to be the... I wouldn't want to be associated with the MAGA label anymore. The MAGA of 2016 was something, but it was even shy then, and now it has been completely emptied of any content. And it's, you know, it's very interesting to see the rotation that has been made around Trump in this 2020 to 2024 area period. You know, people like Brett Weinstein converting to Trump. They converted to Trump when he was diluting himself away and when he didn't mean anything anymore. Massive subversion that happened then and still happens. And there are people, unfortunately, who are still in the delusion that Trump is the Trump of 2016. They still will just stand by whatever he does. There is a good video out there. I won't play it here, but excellent video featuring Anna Kasparian. There's also another montage here lies. It was all lies. The biggest rug pull in political history. Yes, you know, there are records of Trump bragging about no new wars and saying our future successes will be measured by the wars we don't start. Well, okay, well, by these standards, the current Trump administration has been an absolute disaster. They started a ridiculous war that is leading nowhere. There's this conspiracy theory that, was it Stephen Robinson sending me this video? they claim that Jeff Epstein still lives, and they claim that it's Palm Beach Pete. So it's a whole conspiracy that Jeff Epstein faked his death to exit prison and is now living large life with money, becoming a guy named Palm Beach Pete, who is apparently some party millionaire of some kind who's just at parties with girls, and he looks like kind of Jeff Epstein style a little bit. But I disagree. I reject this conspiracy because this guy says that this is the proof that they have photographed Palm Beach Pete and he happened to have his mouth opened and that his dentition resembles that of Jeff Epstein. Now, I absolutely disagree, and I have looked at anatomy a lot, and I can tell someone's identity by their teeth. I am absolutely capable. If you give me two pictures and maybe you scramble them and you give me 10 others, I am absolutely capable of finding who the person is based on teeth. But this is not a similar teeth pattern. So basically the only resemblance is that there is a recession of the fifth teeth here, the fifth tooth. This one is backward and goes inside the mouth for Jeff Epstein. And Palm Beach Pete has also a small recession on the fifth. Now, that is not enough. That is absolutely not enough on itself when you consider the position of the other teeth. For example, look at the extremely strict alignment of 2-3-4. 2-3-4 are forming an ensemble. Now, look at here. 2-3-4 are not strictly aligned in Jeff Epstein's mouth. And look at number one. Number one is in ascension. It is higher and more forward in Palm Beach Pete. Number one in Jeff Epstein is in line with the others. So it's not because you have one feature that is shared on one teeth that you can say, this is the same person. This guy shows the graphic quick, and it's like people just say, oh, maybe he's done his homework. Maybe it resembles. But when you look at it seriously, this is not the same mouth. Tooth 1-4 are incompatible. They have a very different pattern. It's recognizable. So I reject this conspiracy. Jan Carroll is done with journalism. This guy is so flaky. He's such an obvious up to me, particularly the extremely unnatural way in which he started complimenting Owen Benjamin, where Owen Benjamin was brought to Tucker Carlson's show, and where Dan Bilzerian was also the subject of a complimentary circle, including Jan Carroll. I see an up right here. This is pressured content. And the whole rise of Jan Carroll has been extremely artificial. When they get on Joe Rogan, when they get on Tucker Carlson, when they form these circles of circle jerking and overly compliment, like Jan Carroll was like, Dan Bilzerian is a man who has been showing he could achieve the peak in the domain of masculinity. That sounds extremely artificial to me. And the way he compliments Owen Benjamin, like he's a absolute top intellectual, and it's so interesting to see the neural structure of Owen Benjamin, like how he thinks. That is artificial, guys. That is all artificial. All of these people that are complimenting each other and inviting each other all got massively wrong calls on very important things. From Owen Benjamin with the, you know, planet Earth is flat and that kind of stuff, to Ian Carroll with false theories around the killing of Charlie Kirk, to Tucker Carlson deluded on so many extraterrestrial things and other things. This is a circle of stupidity that is being funded by someone. There's a reason a bunch of stupid people are all trying to get as much energy as they can from a far-right discourse while also not committing to it, not committing to the principles. This is the same thing that happened when TPUSA was shooting their White Boy Summer t-shirts. We're still in this psyop. Years. Years into it. And they try with new personalities. And these personalities are dumb. And they say stupid stuff. And they get owned at the game of journalism. And now we have Ian Carroll making his bait and switch. Oh, I'm abandoning. I'm done with journalism. Because I want to talk about things that are more positive. This guy has been recalled. It's like he's being deployed for whatever his initial purpose was, whatever was the purpose of bringing him onto Joe Rogan and making him rise as a personality, despite the fact that he got so many things wrong. Just putting forward shit is what the subversives do. And he is the purveyor of the shit. He is the purveyor. I could see it from the beginning when I made a rational argument about his false theories around Charlie Kirk. By the way, how is that looking now? Not looking good. The idea that Charlie Kirk couldn't have been killed by a 30-06. I'm sure he still sticks to it. But we'll see in the trial. But anyways, the fact that he simply could not engage with the rational arguments I was making and instead just said, oh, there's this French guy who believes this. We don't have intellectuals. We have influencers. We have basically feel-good bloggers that are currently leading the public conversation on thinking and on facts. And it is so sad. That is what I had to say for tonight. Trevor Blue says, they are trying to bring back the intellectual dark web. Absolutely. It's the same thing. It's a bunch of people who are trying to get stolen valor as edgy thinkers. It's all there is. And they're not edgy thinkers, first, because they can't think clearly. And second, because they don't adhere to any principle except seed more shit and draw more attention that is unwarranted. Plapides says, to give Owen his due, he is not a left-brain thinker and toils on his farm all day. He was canceled as hard or harder than Nick. Maybe he is a deep cover-up. Who knows? But I don't take issue with him being a cover-up or no. But I take issue with Owen's simple wrongness. And the thing is, when you're that wrong and when you're that stupid on certain aspects like evolution, like the way this guy and who is his friend that I debated, this blogger, I don't even remember his name, but I remember his delusion, which is that he had found the math is wrong with evolution. And I totally destroyed this case. We still don't have an answer from any of these two. They will keep doing bravado out there, say, oh, JF is wrong. But no argument. No argument. They believe Vox gay. Vox Day, says Matthew Weber. Yes, Vox Day. They have zero argument. They deny evolution on the basis of wrong math on, oh, well, let's assume that bacteria fixation rate applies to sexual species. It doesn't. Thank you so much, ELDR, for the super chat.